our buddy Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Zach, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
What's going on, fellas?
Well, what's going on is we had Frank Kona with a Zoom call with some. He's always good for a couple of one-liners, and he had some good ones today. Antonetti as well, and then the strong words from Lindor. Let's start with that because that's the most recent. Lindor put out, I thought, a pretty powerful statement there, Zach, and clearly the players are and Frank Kona, without being too explicit, are pretty angry with what Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac did.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, Lindor says everything with, like, a smile on his face and in a tone that is warm and, like, nice. And so it's tough. I mean, I think you can read between the lines and see that he wanted to say something strong but didn't. You know, it's not like he didn't say Clevenger and Plesac's names. He didn't explicitly say that he's frustrated or anything like that, but I think he just wanted to hammer home the point that the Indians and every team has been trying to hammer home for over a month now, and that is that, you know, you have to be selfless. You have to think of other people right now, because we've seen it with the Marlins and with the Cardinals. You know, it just takes one little slip up and you can derail potentially an entire league, an entire season, you know. So you look at the standings, you see the Cardinals are 2-3. They've played 5 games. The Indians are playing game 18 tonight. Well, that's because at some point someone contracted the virus. So you don't want to take any unnecessary risks that you don't have to. Not only that, but I think, you know, the big thing that I think that would frustrate the players is that they all agreed to this. You know, these are rules that they themselves had a hand in implementing. Every team had to submit its own code of conduct and approve what sort of punishments there would be and what sort of restrictions there would be. And you had these players championing these protocols, you know, a few weeks ago when the season was starting, and then not adhering to them. So I think for the players who are adhering to them and who are, you know, 99% of the players are doing the right thing, and I think it's frustrating that the 1% aren't.
Zach, can you take us inside what really happened in Chicago with Plesac and Clevenger? I'm just a little unsure as to the details as to, like who came back to the hotel, who tried to sneak in, who didn't come back. How did this whole thing happen? How did they get caught? Just kind of lay it out for us, if you can, what you know.
Yeah, I wish I could do a better job of this. They're going to keep this a mystery for as long as they can until someone leaks it somehow. You know, one of Clevenger or Plesac's buddies finds someone in the media or something. It's tough. I mean, so Plesac pitched Saturday, pitched a gem. I know that. I know he's from like 45 minutes outside of Chicago. It's possible he had friends and family around. You know, none of that's been confirmed. You know, the thing, and this is the first question I asked Antonetti today, is how does it work that one player gets caught and the other doesn't get caught for, you know, 24 hours later? How does that happen if they were out together and, you know, did Plesac kept quiet and never mentioned Clevenger's involvement? We know Clevenger kept quiet and he rode on the team plane back home Sunday night. So there's a big chunk of information missing. Antonetti and Francona and the players, they haven't wanted to dive into that. You know, maybe it comes out at some point, but I think it would help us with a little clarity just to understand what their decision-making process was, what they were thinking when they went out, and how this unfolded the way it did. Because, man, I mean, it was, you know, we all thought it was just one person making a mistake, and all of a sudden it's 40% of your starting rotation.
Yeah. We're talking with Zach Meisel of The Athletic. Zach, they're on the restricted list. We know they can come off any time. They're going to be gone till at least Friday. Do you, assuming they test negative, should we assume they'll both be activated Friday or not so fast?
Not necessarily. You know, they'll have to have a negative test, but then the team can decide if they want to make them test negative twice. I think Framil Reyes had to test negative twice. I think Delino DeShields, well, I mean, he had COVID, but he had to test negative twice before he was allowed back in the building. So, you know, I think it depends on their comfort level. They're confident that they weren't around anyone who had COVID, but, you know, this is all such guesswork. You know, we're all doing guesswork here. and we have been for months. So it's tough to say, like, you know, if you let them back, I mean, how many DeWine thought he had it and then didn't later that day? I mean, there's so many things that we don't know, or we think we know and then we don't know. So it wouldn't surprise me if they exercise maybe some more caution than they have to. But then the other aspect is, you know, these guys are still getting paid. They're still getting service time while they're on the restricted list. So what's the punishment here aside from some public humiliation? You know, are they going to get fined? Are they going to get suspended? You know, is Plesac going to get sent to AAA for a couple weeks since they didn't need a fifth starter anyway? You know, that's something Antonetti didn't want to divulge today, but I think that's going to be something to monitor moving forward.
Zach, should they be playing this game tonight? Has everyone been tested since, you know, Clevenger was on the team playing?
Yeah, so today was their testing day. They get tested every other day. So it was Sunday and then today.
Yeah.
So I think they feel confident in that. But, again, I mean, like, do we even know how the Marlins thing started or how the Cardinals thing started? I mean, this is all just, like, I think everybody is holding their breath and crossing their fingers. And, you know, I think they're thrilled that it's even August 11th and the season's still going.
All right. We're talking with Zach Meisel of the Athletic. So, as we said, Francona back on the bench tonight. And I was like, my anger went to another level about Clevenger and Plesac. When you hear Francona with the bone on bone and he's having problems with his you know what, I mean, he's a mess. And as I said before, Zach, you know, the guy could be, he's a Hall of Famer. He could be laying on a beach somewhere doing nothing. He's dying to get back at the ballpark. He's dying for this season to go through. And I felt like, in addition to Carrasco, in addition to the team in general, it was so disrespectful to Francona for these guys to pull this.
Well, and they put certain protocols in place to better protect those high-risk individuals. So it's like, you know, I had people tweeting at me yesterday saying, well, you know, if Carrasco is at risk, then he should be home. Well, no, I mean, he has his own spot in the clubhouse away from everybody else because he's high risk. And, it, you know, you're hoping that everyone follows the protocols so that they aren't jeopardizing things. I think there's two ways to look at this. There's two things you have to look at. One is, you know, the health issue and certainly you don't, even if it's the tiniest chance, there's no reason to take that extra risk. And for something as silly as just leaving the hotel one night to go do whatever you want to do. When there are other players, I mean, I know players have been, like, hanging out in the hotel, whether it's a ballroom or a conference room or the lobby, just to get out of their rooms for a little bit or drinking some wine together or a beer. Like, there are things you can do, and it's not like you're on the road for 30 days over the course of a couple months. It's not that much of an ask. And then the other part is, even if they were around people who had tested negative 5 minutes before they hung out, and they're wearing masks and face shields and beekeeper suits and, you know, an astronaut helmet. Like, even if they're taking every precaution possible, you know what the rules are because you had a hand in implementing them.
Right.
And you know that there are going to be consequences if you don't follow them. And the pitching staff is what has kept this team afloat. It's what makes this team a contender. And the rotation has been putting up historic numbers over the first 3 weeks. Why would you do anything to jeopardize that? So I think there's multiple layers of frustration just within the clubhouse, within the coaching staff, front office. And, you know, even if these guys only end up missing a few days, it's still, I mean, Mike Clevenger said the quote himself less than 2 weeks ago where he said, you know, talking about the protocols, if you can't trust your teammates off the field, how do you trust them on the field?
Great point. Pot meat kettle, Mike Clevenger. All right, hey, so Kipnis comes back tonight. He's having a decent year for the Cubbies. It's going to be a little interesting for him to come back to Progressive Field. No fans, of course. But what are your thoughts on Jason? And, frankly, I didn't even know he'd have this big a role with the Cubs, you know, to this point.
It's funny because he knew he wasn't coming back to Cleveland. But I think he pictured if he ever came back to Cleveland, one, there would be fans in the stands. He'd get a nice ovation. It would be a nice little homecoming. And then, two, I don't know that he necessarily knew he was going to bring it with the Cubs. So he joked today that, like, Anthony Rizzo was showing him where he celebrated, where he popped champagne, caught the final out. And so, you know, it's weird. I mean, Kipnis, he said it back in 2016. It was a little bit awkward facing the Cubs, his hometown team, team he grew up rooting for in the World Series, and, you know, trying to ruin his friends and family members October by beating them. And then he goes to the Cubs. It's a dream come true. But he can't play in front of those family members and friends. And then he comes back to Cleveland, and it'll be an empty ballpark. So it's awkward. It's a little weird. But, you know, I think he's just happy that he was able to extend his career. I know he was a little concerned at points just seeing all the other veterans who, you know, it seemed like they couldn't find a job until March or April in some cases. He was worried he'd fall into that. But like you said, I mean, he's been playing, and, you know, the Cubs are off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. And Mike Napoli on the Cubs, too, as a coach. So two guys from the World Series team. We're talking with Zach Meisel, The Athletic. Zach, the Indians have not given up more than four runs this season. It's the second longest streak by any team since 1900. It's really remarkable, as angry as we are at Clevinger and Plesac. And what's funny is Clevinger's probably been their worst pitcher, and he's got, like, what, a 370 ERA or something? And as much as the hitting has struggled, the pitching and even the bullpen for the most part has been remarkable.
Yeah, and this was, I think, every team's concern was, will our pitchers be stretched out when we get to not only summer camp, but just the regular season? And what will they be able to handle? You know, as you're building up gradually in a normal spring training, you push yourself. So the first time you reach 80 pitches, you're tiring down and you're, you know, you don't have quite the command that you did when you were at pitch 30. And so a lot of teams are doing that during the season. And we've seen teams that the first couple of times through the rotation, they were throwing two, three, four innings. And you have to go through that, you know, to get yourself extended to 100 pitches. You're going to have to be pitching in a game and feel tired and not have your best stuff. Well, the Indians pitching staff has been, I mean, from day one, you saw Bieber throw six innings and look dominant. And every single guy has proven that they took that shutdown seriously and they worked really hard. So it's incredible. And, you know, the big thing for the Indians is that Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac looked the part. And that's big because you see guys in their second years take a step back sometimes. They have trouble when the league adjusts to them. And, you know, you wonder if, you know, Aaron Civale's 10 starts last season might have been a mirage. But I think so far you're pretty confident that he's got a really bright future. And you can say that about all these guys. And the other thing is they all have a lot of team control. I mean, Clevinger and Carrasco have a few years left, but the other guys are going to be here for a long time. So that's good news for the Indians.
All right, Zach, good stuff, man. Should be a fun game tonight. Looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us.
The Adam the Bull Bowl the next two nights.
That's right. Yeah, it's always tricky watching the two games. Like I said, I haven't missed an inning of either team's games. My goal is to watch every inning of all 60 Indians and all 60 Cub games this year. That's the goal. And so far, I have lived up to it. I haven't seen every pitch, but I've seen every inning, though. Every inning, at least the majority of every inning. So keep that. It'll be a lot easier to keep that streak going the next two nights.
Do you have one of those, like, half Cubs, half Indians jerseys? You can get, like, a Kipnis one.
No, I'm not a phony about it. I mean, you know, I was born and raised a Cubs fan, and I don't think anybody expects me to be. I do root for the Indians when they play anybody else but the Cubs, and would love to see the Indians win a World Series. But no split jerseys. I'm not going that far.
All right.
Keep it real.
I thought
Zach,
you'd be sitting with Brady Quinn's wife or A.J. Hawk's wife, Brady Quinn's sister.
No, that's not happening. Zach, thanks, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Zach does a great job covering the Indians. He's a great, excellent writer for The Athletic. Good to chat with him.